Before she had legally changed her name to Kelly Swan, she had been Kelly Suen. Her father had given her an English name at her mother's request, and he had sent her off to be educated at American schools because her mother had believed that was where her daughter would thrive. Her mother had lived to see her graduate college, but not to see that she hadn't chosen to become a teacher. Kelly's life had been much more interesting than that. She'd returned to Shanghai on a red-eye flight into Pudong International Airport. The rental car was an extravagance, and she knew when her father saw it, he would roll his eyes and complain about the needless expenditure of money when she could have taken the bus into the Bund and a taxi from there. It didn't matter that she had the money, only that she had spent it foolishly. He prided himself on his own thriftiness, and any time she told him he was being too tight-fisted, he only pointed out that it was his thriftiness that had allowed her to go to college in a foreign country. He always conveniently forgot about the grants she'd qualified for and the work she'd undertaken on her own behalf to make ends meet. Still, she longed to see her father. It had been years since she'd last seen him. The closer she got to home, the more the guilt of her absence crept upon her. Kelly needed to make one stop downtown before driving to her father's house, only a few blocks off Nanjing Road. She pulled into a parking lot and cut the engine. Kelly crossed the parking lot to an old walk-up apartment building. She walked up the stairs to the fourth floor. She knew that the building housed a few small businesses, but was mostly populated by various criminal enterprises. In her line of work, however, they were known as assets. She'd gotten the name of this particular asset from one of the few contacts she still trusted. Kelly thought the coded knock was ridiculous. She was accustomed to working with cutting-edge technology, but then again, such primitive methods of identification were effective in circles where buyer and seller never met before an arrangement was made. The man she was meeting ran a strict cash-and-carry business. A young man in American-style gangbanger clothes stood in the doorway. His baseball cap was pointed to the side. His grin was self-assured, and one of his front teeth was gold.
Are you lost?
Kelly didn't appreciate the insolence in the man's tone. For 3 days, she'd dodged men who had dogged her trail from Brazil to the Cayman Islands. Less than 30 hours ago, she'd made an unannounced visit to the boat they'd rented to follow her, then dumped their bodies into the Caribbean. She didn't know what kind of fallout she was going to face because of that. It was possible she wouldn't live another week. At 5'7" tall and slender, Kelly knew she didn't look imposing. She'd learned to make that work for her. Furthermore, the man probably expected her to be cowed simply because he was male.
What did you say?
Take a hike.
Kelly shoved him back into the room, trying desperately not to be sick. The young man reached under the windbreaker he wore. Kelly blocked his right hand with her left, then shoved her right hand inside his jacket and pulled the Sig Sauer P220 from his shoulder holster. The man flailed, trying for the pistol. Kelly kicked him harder this time. 3 other men were in the room. 2 of them played video games in the corner. The other man sat barefoot on a couch with a cell phone to his ear. He was the one Kelly had come to see. The 2 men playing the video game reached for machine pistols lying on the floor.
No!
Kelly pointed the Sig Sauer at the men to underscore the command. Unhappily, the men drew back from their weapons.
Hands on your heads. Keep them there or I'll kill you.
Kelly reached back and closed the door behind her as the men complied with her demand. She managed to find 2 of the locks by feel and secured them. She wasn't sure if there would be other guards elsewhere in the building. If she'd set up the operation, there certainly would have been. The man she'd come to see sat apart from the other 2. He was barely into his 20s, a handful of years younger than Kelly. His platinum hair contrasted sharply with his skin tone. Hoop earrings dangled from both ears. He wore jeans and a t-shirt featuring a band Kelly had never heard of. Calmly, he closed his phone and put it away. But he continued to sit on the couch as if he didn't have a care in the world.
You are Guo Tang?
Yes. And you?
Your 6:30 appointment.
I knew you would be interesting. You speak very good English. I wasn't expecting a Chinese woman. Are you still going to pay in American money?
Of course.
May I get up to get your merchandise?
Yes, but move slowly. If your door greeter had better manners, perhaps I wouldn't be so wary.
Oh, I don't think you know any other way.
The man stood and crossed the room to two large suitcases sitting on the table. He used a key to open the locks of one. When he lifted the lid, an assortment of handguns and machine pistols were revealed.
Step away, please. Don't touch anything.
Over time, Kelly had learned that politeness never hurt. When it was extended, people sometimes accepted it and responded in kind. Other times, when she'd calmly executed someone after being polite, the survivors had been shocked and even impressed.
You aren't going to rob me, are you?
No. And you are not going to rob me.
Kelly stepped toward the suitcase and looked inside. She found two Smith & Wesson 40 caliber pistols in a double shoulder rig. Reaching inside her jacket, she took out a white business envelope thick with cash.
Here is the money we agreed on.
Guo took the envelope and quickly rifled through the bills. He nodded and put the envelope into his pants pocket.
The 100 rounds of ammunition are in the bottom of the suitcase.
Kelly removed the ammo boxes and sat them beside the pistols. Pulling up a chair, she put the Sig Sauer on the table, ejected the magazines from the new weapons, and proceeded to load them. She noticed out of the corner of her eye that the two men sitting in front of the video game had started to inch slowly toward their weapons.
I can pick up that Sig Sauer and shoot you between the eyes before you can get those machine pistols off the ground.
The two men leaned back, and the gangbanger on the floor scowled at them.
Cowards! If I still had my pistol, I'd
be dead! Shut up and lie there. I'll kill you myself if you do anything stupid.
In no time at all, Kelly had fully loaded both pistols. Standing, she took a moment to shrug into the double shoulder holsters. She slid one of the pistols into the holster and pulled her jacket on, leaving her other pistol and the one she'd captured on the table. Working quickly, she unloaded the P220 and field stripped it, leaving it in pieces on the table. Taking her other pistol in hand, she walked to the door.
If you need anything else, give me a call.
A pleasure doing business.